Today is Saturday, the 5th of March, 2022, and this is the 23rd Mindfulness for Beginners in English session on this program. I would like to warmly welcome from Nisarana Vanaya Forest Monastery, Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's session on behalf of all the organizers and all the attendees for today's session. And I would also like to welcome all the organizers and attendees participating in today's session. It is a great privilege to participate and conduct a session on mindfulness given what is happening all over the world today. So, to commence the session, we would like to have a small experiment with mindfulness during the session as the initial step. So Bhante suggested that we could bring a glass of water next to us and be ready for the session. So I will give all of you 2 minutes to bring a glass of water and keep besides you, and Bhante will commence with the in-session mindfulness practice with that as a mindful experiment. So I know it's a new thing. We haven't done this kind of thing before in this session, probably from memory. But let's for today's session, we will commence that way, and then we will go with the usual flow, where we go into the Q&A and the talk afterwards. So I'll give you 2 minutes to bring a glass of water. Thank you. Okay. Once you have a glass of water ready besides you, please raise the Zoom hand so that we know that you have a glass of water there with you. And let's do this and see how it goes. Thank you so much. There's quite a few display of Zoom hands by now. So this is very interesting. And yes, and I can see Bhante is smiling, so we can get into a nice experiment. Bhante, I think everyone is ready.
Yes, it
Bhante
seems like we can start now.
can.
Right. So today, as a change, we will do one of the activities that we can do mindfully. Now, the idea is to develop this mindfulness while formal meditation, which is walking and sitting. In addition, we encourage you to do mindfully your day-to-day activities. Try to do them while being aware. So today, we will try and see how drinking a glass of water can help us to be mindful. If you try to do this type of activity mindfully, if you remind yourself, maybe you get 10, 12 chances every day. You are drinking various things throughout the day. So can I be mindful? Maybe within few minutes, you just make a determination that I'm drinking this mindfully. I'm having this cup of tea as a tea meditation. So that type of practice we are doing. So today, as a change, instead of our formal practice, we will try to drink a glass of water mindfully, right? So I encourage you to turn on your video and maybe participate in the discussion, because we have to communicate, discuss, and see how each of us are feeling, what we are noticing while doing this activity. So first, we will take this glass of water and hold it in our hand. Try to notice what you can feel. Try to notice how you are holding this. Okay, let me ask somebody to share what they feel. So I have a bottle, not a glass of water. I have a bottle. So I'm also holding. Okay, Arosha.
Yes, Bhante. I can feel a warmth on my fingers. The water in my cup is warm. And I can feel the weight on my palm and on my wrist of one of my hands as well.
Okay, so those things you observe. Anybody else would like to share?
I have enabled for anyone to speak up. So if anyone is share their sensations or a perception, you can speak now. Anyone can speak up. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Panthi, I also noticed the shape of my hand sort of holding the cup.
Right, the shape of your hand. So when we hold things, usually we feel these type of sensations. So throughout the day, you are opening doors, you are holding various things. So it is good to pay attention what you can feel with your palms, how you are holding them, and what is the surface is like. Maybe it is a smooth surface. Maybe there's a temperature difference between your hand and the object that you are holding. So those things, if you pay attention, you can notice. Of course, they are menial things, but in our practice, we try to observe them with energy, with intention. We are trying to notice these things. Okay, next, we will slowly take a sip of water and try to notice what we can feel. You can take your time, slowly try and see how you are taking the glass, how you are directing it, and what is the function of the lips, what is the function of the tongue, and what are the sensations you feel. Okay, anybody would like to share what the experience?
Oh, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to speak. Can anyone take, please take the chance.
Position of the tongue, lifting of the glass and the water going down, the warmth, the water going within the mouth, the different places the water goes to, and the sensation of the water going right down the throat and down, further down.
Okay, so good observations. Anybody else?
It's Nadeep Bhante.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel the warmth of the glass first to my fingers. And then when I sip the water, initially it feels a bit colder. And then as it goes through the throat, I experience the change of the temperature as well. And then from throat to the tongue, I feel it's like a wave, like, you know, up and down. I feel like a expansion of the tummy and then going back as its usual position as well.
Okay, Nadeep.
I will have a go. I drank three sips of water. I could feel the glass touching the lips, and that I felt the mouth making a kind of a suction force to draw in the water. Actually, I have not experienced that before. And then I felt the coldness and the water coming in touch with the lips. So I felt that there's a lot of information happening in that tiny half a second or so. Thank you so much, Panthi.
Yes, if you pay attention, you can notice various little details. Especially what caught my attention was, Namantha, that how the water is directed. What is supporting this force to direct water throughout your mouth and through your throat? So maybe lips are helping. Then your cheek muscles, maybe they are also helping. So maybe we can take another sip and notice, just focus and see how this is directed, where the force is given, and how it is directed towards your throat.
Yes, Panthi, I can feel that the tongue and the cheek muscles are working in a very, like a symphony kind of way, helping each other, well coordinated. I think we have drank a lot of water in this life, so the mouth and the tongue already know what to do without guidance. It happens automatically. Very interesting.
Yes, as you said, these functions are automated.
Yes.
We have done it for so long. Now it is automated, and without even being aware, it is happening. So we can try and focus on them. And I felt this suction kind of a motion created inside the mouth. And through that, the water is sucked through. And that is something that we don't usually notice. Anybody else would like to add?
The movement of the...
Yes, go ahead.
The movement, roof of the mouth. Especially at the back. Just directing it further down.
Yes, the tongue is touching the roof of the mouth. And through that, it is helping also. That's one of the functions that is happening. Maybe not for the water. When you eat something, you can clearly notice that the tongue is touching the roof. And that's how it is directing the food towards your throat. Yes, Bandula?
Bante, so I feel same as the weight of the glass. And when the water goes into the throat, I feel the sound of the water. And I feel it pass through the tongue to the throat.
Yes, that's another good observation. When you pay attention to yourself, you can notice the sounds that you are making. Right? When you listen to yourself, maybe the first thing you listen is your breath, the sound of your breath. Then maybe while having a drink, you can notice the sound that your mouth is making. While eating something, you can notice the sound it is making. So these things are good observations. When we pay attention to ourselves, we listen to the sounds, the noises that we make. In a way, it's help us to be mindful. In other ways, the sound pollution will be also less because you are listening to yourself. If you are not attentive, then you clearly see this person is making a lot of noises. They are creating a huge fuss. Maybe they are entering a meeting room, disturbing the entire meeting because they are not attentive. If they listen to themselves, they can see that I'm making so much noises. When I'm opening a door, can I be quieter? When I do some activity, what are the sounds that I'm making? So those things are good observations and they help us to be attentive, more and more aware about oneself and try to maintain that awareness. Yes, Lushani.
I noticed two things as well. So one was the smell of the mug I was drinking from. Like there was a soap smell that I suddenly noticed. Okay. Now I actually had a sip before the mindfulness session, and I didn't notice the smell of the soap on my mug, which I noticed now. The other thing was when I initially started, I noticed like there was a craving to have another sip and then another sip and another sip. And then, you know, we had the gap in between. And then afterwards, like I had the fourth sip you asked us to drink again. And that time I noticed like I actually didn't want to drink. So I wanted to stop. So okay. I noticed those thoughts in my mind.
Yes. So those are good observations. Now, one of my friends, instead of taking the water bottle, she took, there was this coconut oil bottle and she took that and she drank. After drinking half only, she noticed that I'm drinking coconut oil, not the water. So that's a good observation that there's this smell coming from the bottle. And the thickness may be also different when it comes to various liquids. So those are good observations. Nadeep, yes.
One thing I noticed again, Bhante, when the thought came to glop the water, the pressure actually moving from my lips to the through the cheeks and then towards the throat. And then from there, again, it like felt like trying to push it down the throat. So it's only happened when that thought, coming to my mind, okay, just now you had the water, just glob it. So as soon as that thought came in, the pressure starts from, lips start a bit of tightening, and then it's towards my throat, throat area, it passed.
Okay, so those are observations that we noticed. And next, as Lushani suggested, we will try to see whether there is a smell that we can notice, and also we will try to see whether there is a taste that we can notice. So you can slowly take another sip and see whether these things are obvious. Okay, let me start. I think I have to wash this bottle because there's some kind, this bottle is old, so I can feel some kind of a smell which is not pleasing. Then the taste is, of course, there's a taste, but I can't differentiate it. It feels comforting, this taste of water. And that is what I noticed. Anybody else would like to add something?
Bhante, this felt like there's no taste at all. You know, this called tasteless. So, but you had to keep in memory what is the taste like, you know, drinking tea or something, but this is tasteless.
Yes. So what is the question you have to ask is, what is the taste I feel when I taste nothing? That's the question. What is the sound I hear when I hear nothing? What is the sensation I feel in between two breaths? So that's a good question that you have to observe yourself and see, what is this taste? What is this sound? And what is this sensation that I feel in between when I feel nothing? So that's something that we have to experiment more and more and see.
Bhante, I felt a chlorine smell and glass smell. I don't know whether I have felt glass smell before, but since I was going looking for smell, I felt the glass was smelling like a glassy, transparent kind of smell. So I felt it should be glass.
Yes. So when you look for smells, those things happen. Yes.
Bhante, so I keep noticing like the craving to have another sip, and then at sometimes like the non-craving, like not wanting to drink.
Yes. So that try to see when you are hungry, you really want to have something, eat something, right? So maybe when you start, you can't even pay attention. It goes automatically till you maybe feel half it, right? Then little by little, it goes towards the other direction. You are getting sick of food little by little. Towards the end of the meal, you want to just throw it away and get it done with, right? So these things happen throughout whatever the activity that we do. Let's say eating something, when you start, you have so much craving towards that. But when you complete your meal little by little, towards the end of it, you get sick of it. You watch TV. You start watching, you have so much craving. But when you watch for a few hours, you get sick of it. Any other thing that you experience in your day-to-day life, you start with so much craving towards it. But when you do that activity for some time, then you get sick of it, right? The problem is that we don't pay attention towards this latter part. We usually replace it with something else. When you are about to finish your meal, your attention goes to something else. When you are about to finish watching TV, you get another idea. When you are about to finish some other activity, you get another idea to do next. So the practitioner, they try to notice, now whatever I start towards the end of it, I'm getting sick of it. That feeling, you intentionally pay attention and notice throughout whatever the experience that you do, whatever the meals or things that you have, towards the end of it, you get sick of it. That feeling of enough. That feeling is a good observation because usually we are ignorant towards that. We do a whole lot of activities, but we don't notice this part. Of course, we are attracted to the beginning, That part we of course pay attention. We are interested. We have craving towards that. But towards the end of it, whatever you do, whatever the experience, towards the end of it, you get sick of it. So that's a good observation. Try to notice throughout your day-to-day life, whatever the thing that you do, maybe having an ice cream, you start like, this is so tasty. That is how you start. But maybe have one, two, or three. Then towards the end of it, now enough. No more ice creams. Now I want to go do something else. So that is happening all the time, but we don't notice. So if you start to notice, then you will turn this world around and you will try to notice towards the end of this experience, I'm getting sick of it. Whatever I do towards the end, this feeling is coming. So that's a good observation, especially one who is practicing. They pay their attention towards this latter part and try to notice that these things, what is the end of these things, these experiences, how they are ending. And that's a good observation. So keep observing those things. How I'm feeling when I start my meal, towards the end of it, what is the feeling? Then I go for something new. What is the feeling in the beginning? Towards the end of it, what is happening? When I drink something, initially you are attracted to it. You need to drink again and again. But towards the end of it, you get this enough feeling. So those are good observations. Try to notice it even in your day-to-day life. You can notice it. Okay, I think we have consumed about almost about 25 minutes doing this. So if anybody else would like to add something, we can give a few minutes. Otherwise, we will move forward. So the idea of today's practice is to try this during your day-to-day activities. Whatever you do, try to be mindful. Maybe drinking something. Try to drink it like a meditation. So you can research, there's this concept of tea meditation. Basically paying attention while having a tea, cup of tea. You do it like a ceremony. You pay attention how I'm making this, what are the sensations, what are the noises that I make. Then when I taste, what is the taste and how it is feeling inside my mouth. All these things you observe, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes, you are doing this type of activity and it's like a meditation for you. Okay, Namanti, if nobody else is there, we can move forward, I guess.
Even in the last moment, if someone is there to speak, you can just mention what you felt or experienced. Raise your hand. Okay, Bhante, that was a very fantastic experiment. And I think if Bhante has any new ideas in the next sessions, we would also like to do these experiments again. So with that, I believe... Bhante, are we going through the mindful sitting or mindful walking, or do we proceed to the Q&A, next items?
No, today's practice is this one.
Completely this one.
Go towards the Q&A.
Okay, Bhante, much merits. So I think next is for me to go through the initial steps to be introduced on mindful practice commencement for a beginner or someone new to this process. You will be able to see in the screen shared now. There are two YouTube videos, each one specializing on instructions on mindful walking and the next on mindful sitting. So take a few minutes to go through each video. You will understand what has to be done on each session. We prefer mindful walking to be done first, and then you can do the mindful sitting. After that, based on your schedule or busy schedules, you can allocate some time daily. We would recommend starting with 10 or 20 minutes on each session and then proceed to a time span of about 1 hour for each session when you advance into this practice over a course of a few weeks. But for the beginning, you can start with tiny steps, let's say 10 minutes, 15 minutes or 20 minutes of mindful walking first. and then go on to a mindful sitting session of similar duration. And keep doing this for about 3 to 4 days, and then you will get some experience. And once you get to a stage where you are comfortable with the practice after repeating it for about 3-4 days, you can start writing your experience and converting your observations into word. This is a very important practice. It reassures you that you have indeed been mindful during that time, because you have to go back in time, remember what you experienced, and then put it on paper. When you are putting it on paper, you will get to realize, okay, I have observed this. And then it will strengthen your next sessions as well. So you can describe what your object of focus was during mindful walking, whether it was the sole of your feet touching the floor, whether it was your body movement, whether it was your mind, whether you observed your mind running into thoughts and then coming back into the body, the movement of the body and all that. And then you can go on to mindful sitting session, and then you can describe the primary object of attention, which is going to be your breath moving in or out, and or your abdomen falling or rising. And then you can describe what happened to your focus, whether it shifted into thoughts or whether it came back into the body and body sensations, and whether you felt any difficulty or disturbances, maybe surrounding sounds or noises. Then you can describe this in your own words and then email to us or submit it through the Google form. So these links will be put into the chat section, so you can copy and paste them into your computers. Then the last step is that once we receive your reports through the Google form or the email, we will present it to Bhante, and Bhante will listen to those reports being read out by one of our organizers, and Bhante will pick on what points to focus and to for you to improve on and advise you accordingly. Such advice given by Bhante will be useful to you, to me, to all of those who are participating, and can be used as guidance for future sessions. So I highly recommend all of you to do this, and then keep on sending reports. This is a continuous cycle where there is feedback, where you practice and write and you get feedback from Bhante, then you can use it again to improve. When you keep on doing this, you will feel that you are being more mindful during daily activities, and that is more comfortable. It creates a lot of comfort and effortlessness in daily activities when you are a trained mindful practitioner, which is what you will become when you keep on doing this. So with that, I would like to take the program to the next session step, which is the Q&A. So in the Q&A, we will start presenting the reports received for today for Bhante to advise, as I mentioned in this brief introduction. So I would like to warmly invite Dushani to present the reports. There are two reports for today, to present the two reports for Bhante's advice. Thank you,
Dushani. Thank you, Namantha. Bhante, Avasarai. So there are two reports, as Namantha mentioned. I will read the first report. Sitting meditation. Sat on cushion and brought attention to sensations of air touching nostrils during breathing. Felt a cold and wet sensation on the in-breath, followed by a slightly warmer out-breath. Heard sounds from other parts of the house. Sometimes I noted them as sounds and attention returned to the sensations of breathing. At other times, I recognized words being spoken and additional thoughts arose about their meaning and implication. Streams of thoughts continued to interpret and plan based on the words being heard. After some time, the sensation of breathing became more prominent with a deep in-breath. attention returned to touch of air in nostrils and upper lip, and meditation continued. While writing this report, I reflected on how the cycle of noticing sounds led to recognition of words, followed by stream of thoughts on several occasions during the period of practice. Mindfulness in daily life. Made a determination to be as mindful as possible while vacuuming and cleaning the house. Carried vacuum cleaner down the stairs, noting the pull of its weight on my arm, the sounds of the nose bumping on the walls and banisters, and the shifting of weight on knees with each step. While vacuuming, noted the pressure and pulling sensations on the wrist, elbow, and shoulders as the cleaning head was moved back and forth across the floor. Noted how sight of dust and specks of dirt on floor would prompt movement of vacuum cleaner towards those areas. Also noted seeing some specks that could be an insect, as well as seeing and recognizing a spider in a corner behind a door. In each case, noted possibility of harming a living creature and carefully avoided the area. Following, using vacuum cleaner, swept kitchen using broom. Noted pressure on palms of hands, pulling sensation on wrist and elbow as I moved the broom across the floor. Again, noted that seeing dust and dirt on the floor would prompt movement of broom across those areas. Continued in this way and completed all the cleaning after about an hour. Felt refreshed and energized following cleaning activity and while writing this report. Walking meditation. Walked on a tile floor along a path of about 15 steps. Noted coldness on soles of feet, together with the pressure from the weight of the body. When starting out in a standing position, the sensations of cold and pressure were similar in both feet, but varied as the body swayed. When walking, the pressure and cold shifted from one foot to the other. Noted sounds and sights of objects in field of vision while walking. Sometimes the recognition of these sounds and the sights prompted thoughts to arise, which led to stream of further thoughts. Awareness returned to the sensations at the feet after some time. Practice continued in this way for 30 minutes until the bell rang. End of the report.
Okay, so you are cleaning the house and try to pay attention to that. You make a determination next 30-40 minutes. I'm trying to pay attention and I'm trying to do this activity. So you are vacuuming while cleaning the outside. It feels like you are cleaning the inside as well. While cleaning the house, you are cleaning your mind as well. And towards the end of the activity, usually when you do these things, you are in a rush. Although you are cleaning outside, you don't want to clean inside. Sometimes you are in your mind, you are blaming somebody. There are so many people in this house, nobody is helping. So those thoughts are there. So it is said that this person is trying so hard to clean outside, but they are piles of garbage inside, blaming people, cursing people. But the practitioner, they try to be with this activity and they try to do it like a valuable, important task. And when you do that, you notice, usually I'm tired after finishing these things, but when I do this mindfully, I can feel that I'm relaxed and I have a lot of energy. Even towards the end of that activity. That energy, that vibration is what we are going after. And when you have that vibration, you are not harming anybody. Even little creatures, you notice, you pay attention, and you avoid harm as much as possible. So that is what's missing in this world. The people, they are lost in their mind. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know how they are harming. maybe entire country, entire region, they are putting it at risk because of their wandering minds, the ideas, targets in their mind. If you are aware about yourself, of course, you are aware about the world surrounding you. If you are aware about yourself, you are not harming the surrounding world as well. You are functioning as much as possible not to harm anybody, as much as possible not to pollute anything. You are functioning because you are attentive. That awareness is what's missing in this world. If you are aware, you feel that other people too feel emotions. Other people too are hurt sometimes. So you function in a way that you are not hurting, you are not harming anybody. As much as possible, you try to maintain that type of attitude. And it's a blessing towards the surrounding world as well. Some people, they think that you have to be compassionate, you have to go after people, you have to help them. But this is the very valuable help that you can do. Try to be aware about yourself. When you are aware, you know if you are causing harm. When you are aware, you see the opportunities, you see what needs to be done. So that's a good observation, that you are aware about yourself. You are aware about the surrounding that you are in, and you are not causing harm. So try to maintain this throughout your life and try to see how blissful, how peaceful your mind becomes. The world may be in chaos, but still you can maintain peace in your mind. You can maintain that calming nature in your mind. That is the way. You can't fix the world. Don't even try. Instead, try to maintain peace inside. That is the practice. And when you maintain that calming nature inside your mind, of course, you are helping towards the peaceful world. Because violence in your mind manifests as violence in the world. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Instead, it's the violence in people's minds that are manifested in the world. So if you are peaceful, if you are not violated in your mind, then you are peaceful towards the world as well. So try to maintain this. So many people do these activities. They feel like they don't want to do it. They curse people, the family members, while doing these things. But if you pay attention to yourself, you get the task done. In addition, you maintain this calming nature in your mind. And it is helping the world as well. It is helping the society as well. Without words, you are preaching something. We call it a silent preaching, which you are doing by paying attention. And you can, even the surrounding people, the trees, the animals, they too can feel the vibration that you are creating. And it's always a positive vibe that you are giving. So continue, and we are happy to hear your report.
Thank you, Bhante. The second report, mindfulness in daily life. Woke up in the morning and made a determination to be mindful till I went to the kitchen. Aware of opening eyes, sounds of birds, touch of sheets on legs and clothes on arms. Moved away mindfully. Felt the cold when sitting up, mindfully moving legs off the bed. Stood up, walked, and I was aware of each action of going to toilet, flushing, opening tap, water on hands, cold water, pressing soap container, soap on hands, washing hands, warmer water, washing face, closing tap, stretching to get the towel, wiping, sensation of towel on face, noted texture, sensation of cream on hands, dress mindfully, watched feet walking from room down the stairs to the kitchen. Walking meditation. Walked mindfully on tile floor, noting left, right, then lifting, moving, placing. Noted changes of temperature on soles of feet and differences in each foot. Thoughts proliferated but came back to feet. Sweaty sensation throughout body, but this passed. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. Watched breath. Initially in and out breath short, equal, and then breath disappeared. Demarcation of one side of face disappeared. An expansion of space observed for a short period. Breath reappeared, merged with air outside. In and out breaths on other side of nose continued. Expansion and contraction of chest noted and heartbeat. Mind peaceful. Thoughts not observed for a time. Then thought came and went. Some images noted but passed. Meditated for 1 hour. End of report.
Okay, now let me start with the sitting part. Now, when you observe your breath, that is your world. And when breath disappears, the world disappears. Maybe part of your body is also disappearing. And you can feel that you are merging with outside. No boundaries are there. The boundaries disappear. So these are good observations that you can experience through your practice. If you just talk about the practice, you won't know. But if you practice, you will notice that the me and the outside world, the boundary disappears. And when that disappears, you are peaceful. You are just part of the nature that surrounds you. If you are not experiencing that, you think that you are this separated person who want to fight this entire world, maybe win this entire world. And of course, you are headed towards failure. But when you see this nature, I'm just part of this whole system. And can I be with that? Can I accept that nature? And just when you accept, you can feel this peace. Initially, in practice, you experience this. So that's a good experience, especially during sitting. You start to notice these things. The boundary disappears. That's a good observation. And if you see that, then you won't think that I'm this self-centered, separate being. Instead, I'm just part of this whole system. I don't want to do anything to harm that system. And various shapes, various images, various thoughts and things appear and they disappear. So that's a good observation that you can have in your practice. That's a good experience. If you don't experience these type of things, then you are always fighting. Fighting the world, fighting the surrounding, fighting your family members. You try to fix them. You try to fix the world. You try to align your family members. You try to align your workplace. But when you notice these type of experiences and you notice that the boundary disappears, then you little by little realize that I am just a tiny part of this entire system. And can I accept that? Can I change my attitude towards the world? So that you have to experience. Through experience only, your attitude is changing. Your thinking pattern is changing. Because we haven't seen, we haven't experienced these things. And in practice, they come. The real nature of surrounding things appear and they disappear. So you have to again and again practice and try to notice these things. So in a way, I'm sometimes saying that you are going beyond the gravity. You go to the space and you start to experience things in a different way. Usual laws, the Newton laws, they don't work there. Instead, whole set of new laws you have to apply. You have to develop. Even Usain Bolt, he can't run as usual speed. So that type of experience we are seeing through the practice, again and again it happens. It goes to the space, again come back to the gravity. Again goes to the space, again come back to the gravity. This interchange is happening again and again. And more you experience, little by little, you are developing this ability to survive without gravity in the space. So that skill you have to develop little by little, you are developing. That's why those people, they are training. They train to survive without gravity. So that type of experience we are doing, that type of a training we are doing. And when you experience these things again and again, it's like a training session. For a few minutes, the gravity goes away. The boundary goes away. And you have this odd experience. And again, when you wake up, it comes back. Again, another day you experience. So this is happening again and again. You have to do it thousands of times till you are able to survive without gravity in the space. And whole set of new laws will come. And you will get a chance to experience them. So that is the idea of the practice. It's a good observation that, you know, shared with the group. If there's a non-practitioner here, we encourage them to practice and see for themselves.
Thank you, Bhante, for your valuable guidance. Now, there's an opportunity to ask any questions you will have, so Bhante can respond. You can raise your Zoom hand, unmute yourself, and ask the question. Yes, I can see Kihante. Do you want to unmute yourself? And go ahead. Namati, is it possible for Kihante to unmute?
Nice. Okay. Thank you, Lushani. Thank you, Namanta. Thank you, Venerable Dhammachala. Venerable, I have two questions for you today. The first question relates to something that you have been discussing throughout this
series. Kihante, I can't hear you clearly. Maybe it's me or Namanta.
Okay. I also cannot hear. Yes. Okay. I think he can.
I will repeat. Yes. Thank you again to Lushani, Namanta, and Venerable Dhammakusala for this opportunity. I have two questions, Swami Mahansa. The first question is in relation to something you have been discussing throughout this series. That first question is around present moment awareness. You have always encouraged us through this series, through meditation, to have present moment awareness. And so my question is, when you have that present moment awareness, is that then mutually exclusive from thoughts? So in other words, if the awareness is there and you're noticing the feelings, you're noticing how things are changing, you're noticing, is that then completely impossible to do with thinking as we normally do, like our normal autopilot thinking? So are we putting aside thinking completely to have that present moment awareness? So that's my first question. My second question is a more practical kind, well, even the first one is practical, but the second one is more general question. You just mentioned in response to one of the observers, participants' experience that, you know, we are ultimately an insignificant part of the wider whole. That is a realization that's dawning on me every day. But at the same time, from our young days, from schooling to young adulthood, marriage life, society, one of the key values we are always taught is responsibility, is to take ownership, is to drive things. And successful people in life tend to shape things better than other people. They take charge. They go ahead and do things. They don't just let things happen on their own. That is true with society. It's true with the families. That is my question is, so we are insignificant. In fact, Dhamma talks about even there being no individual, no person, no, you know, this whole anatta concept. And I find that a bit of a challenge because in society, we have to take ownership. We have to drive. We have to set expectations. And so there is that fine balance. So it will be interesting, Swaminathan, if you can talk about that to see how much can we shape things or we are not able to shape things. How much ownership should we take? How much self-responsibility should we take when in some ways we don't have control? So that is my second question, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, the very first question. Now, thinking is a part of you. You need that for certain things, especially if you work, if you even to do a Dhamma talk, you need thinking, right? So those things you have to function naturally in your day-to-day life. Let it happen. You can't get rid of it. As long as you have a mind, you will have thoughts appearing in it. Thoughts popping up. So that is natural. Don't try to get rid of it. When we practice, we try to separate ourselves from the thoughts and just be the observer for a while. When you observe, it doesn't become your world. Let's say you get anger inside you. When you usually what happens is that your world becomes the anger. Now the entire world is angry. And you feel this type of a burning feeling inside you. But the practitioner, they try to maintain some kind of a distance from this emotion. When you maintain that distance, you are seeing a bigger picture. You are not the anger. Instead, you are just this observer that is observing this process. Maybe you feel how your body is changing, how the heartbeat is rising, how the temperature is rising, how you are shaking, those things you observe as an unbiased observer. So that type of observation we do, we don't try to get rid of thoughts. Instead, we let it happen, especially if you want to function in your day-to-day life. We have to have these things. If you have work responsibilities, you have family responsibilities, so you can't get rid of that. But what we are doing is that we are not grabbing them so much as we used to do. We are not craving them so much as we used to do. Instead, we maintain some kind of a distance. That distance you can't think can get. Instead, it comes from the practice. Sometimes people, they cry, they complain, they say, I don't want these thoughts. Go away. But the wish is not coming through. Your mind is more and more attracted towards those thoughts that you want to get rid of. So that is the nature of our mind. You can't just make a wish and let them disappear. That is not happening. Instead, through practice, by being mindful, you develop this quality of your mind to maintain that type of a distance. And then you maintain that for a long period, when you practice again and again and again, that distance becomes natural to you. In other words, we can say neuroscience, right? You are creating this new circuit in your brain. And more you walk that new path, new circuit, it comes natural to you. Now, during our activity today, we notice that these things are automated. So that is the usual path that you are walking every day. You are drinking so many sips of water, but you are not attentive. Now you are developing this new circuit and try to be aware while doing this. Try to pay attention intentionally. So that is difficult initially. You have to put so much effort. You have to hold the bottle. You have to think what is I'm feeling. You have to take a sip and notice. All these things are there. But more you practice, this observation comes naturally to you. This new circuit becomes natural to you. So that's what we are doing. We try to develop this ability to maintain distance, and that comes through the practice, right? So that goes the first question. Then the second one, now you have to define what you call success in life, right? So that is the very first place that you have to start. So some people, they target money. Some people, they target fame. Some people, they target their some other aspects of life. And they go after it. And of course, you can notice that they are achieving. That type of attitude you have to have. But our definition of success is different. That is why you don't see much hair on my head, right? That definition is different. And we are targeting something else. We are going after a bigger realization, which is the peace in your mind. So those successful people, if you inquire about their life, if you inquire how they are living their last few years, then you realize that although they achieved so much, this is how they ended their life. This is how they felt towards the end of their life. So is that what you want? Or maybe you want something different. So you have to define what you expect as success. Whether I'm going after material things, whether I need to have peace and tranquility in my mind. So it depends on that definition. And even let's say we need to aim for peace and tranquility in our mind. Still, you need to take ownership. Still, you need to put effort. It's not happening by luck, by chance. Instead, you have to put effort towards the practice. Maintaining a daily schedule and practicing 2 hours per day, it's not easy. You will do it for a week, then you will forget. When the person, me, I am talking, I'm also having difficulty sometimes maintaining my practice. You always want to follow the easy paths and sometimes, you know, do various other things and not practice, right? So maintaining it for a few years, few months is really difficult. For that also, you need the effort, you need the energy, you need to take ownership. And by doing that only, you can achieve certain level of peace, certain level of momentum in your practice. When that momentum comes, the practice becomes more and more natural to you, and the practice is supporting you. Initially, you had to support practice. It took so much energy. But when you develop again and again and again, then the practice is so energetic. It is dragging you. Now you don't want to practice, but the practice is dragging you and taking you towards the path of that peace that we are talking. So for that also, we need effort. We need to take the ownership. We need to take the responsibility and do. So that's how we differ from the world. For some people, winning a region, that's their aim, goal. So fine, you do it. For some people, money. Then fine, you do it. For some people, some other thing, fame that they want. So you have to think about yourself. Think what you want. How you want to end your life. What type of a drawing that you want to draw. We are given this empty fabric, and every moment, every day, we are adding colors. What type of a drawing I'm drawing? Some people, they add red color, blood type of a feeling that they give. Some people, they want to add some other color. So it's a work of art that we are developing, that our life. So think about it. What type of a work of art that I want to develop? And it's a good question to ask yourself. For that also, you need thinking. So after deciding, okay, I need this type of a work of art, and I'm doing things according to that. So that's how we look towards those people. You have to redefine your success, what you want to achieve. Some people, they say, okay, till 60, I go after money. Then the remaining 20 years, I will do peacefully monkhood, those things, right? So do you have a guarantee that you will live till 80? That's the problem. If you want to achieve something, you have to achieve it today, not postpone it 20, 30 years ahead. Most people dying, they were not planning that. Suddenly, the time comes and they have to go. Suddenly, they have to say goodbye to all the things that they have acquired. And they have to go. So their plans are ruined. So you have to think about it and you have to do it today. Don't postpone. If you need money, fine. Do your jobs, do your businesses. That's fine. If you need peace in your mind, that's at least 2 hours, one and a half hours per day. Can I contribute that daily? So you have to put your own weights, give your own weights and see, okay, this thing I'm giving this much of weight. We have like 24 hours now, right? For mental health, for physical health, we are giving maybe about 12, 13, 14 hours. Then for money, you are giving another number of hours. For fees in your mind, what type of weight you want to give. So that depends on your definition of success. So try and see what you want. And if you want that type of a lasting peace in your mind, then of course you have to take ownership and do your practice. And when you do that, only you can become peaceful, truly.
Thank you, Bhante. I don't want to take too much time, but you just said, you know, now's the opportunity. So I don't want to delay. So I will just seek two clarifications. First one around the awareness versus the thought. I have done this thing called moment-to-moment awareness technique. And what I've realized through that is when you're seeing, you're not hearing. When you're sensing, you know, you are not seeing. That's the sort of thing you get out of that technique. And you can understand that whilst your mind can move very quickly, at any given moment, it's focused on one thing. So that was why I was thinking, you know, when you're thinking, then how do you have awareness? Is aware, you know, you can like, you know, you can, you have your six organs, six sense organs. So seeing, hearing, taste, feeling, thinking, smelling. So is awareness a sort of a seventh type of experience over and above these six things that we normally do in our normal everyday life? And that's why my first question to you was, if you are having this awareness, then can you think, are they mutually exclusive? That was a clarification. The second question, clarification was, I get the sense from what you say, we have to put energy. We have no, you know, without, whether it's our secular life, financial life, economic life, social life, or even Dhamma practice, we have to put energy. But I think, I suppose, what we have no control over the outcome. So, you know, you do the best you can, but there's no control over the outcome. That will land the way it lands based on different situations and everybody else that is involved. But you still have to put energy. That is what I get from what you said, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, so the questions regarding whether this awareness is something else, you have to experience for yourself. Next time, try to put it into words, right? Not about the thinking thoughts and whether I'm thinking or somebody else is thinking, whether I'm aware, somebody else is aware, not that type of a thing, but instead your simple experience. Do I know that I'm walking? Do I know that I'm sitting? And what are my observations? And if you have that, then we can approach these same type of questions in a different way. Right? So that's the answer for the first one. Then the second one, of course, you can try. And depending on that effort, you increase your chance of success. right? It's not totally out of luck that's happening. Fortune favors the brave, right? So that is there. So even your Dhamma practice, when you practice, that puts energy towards the peaceful mind that we are talking about. Right? So more you practice, more you support that type of attitude in your mind. And that is helping. The effort is there. You can change your life with effort. So some people, they put effort in a different direction. Some people, they put effort in towards them, towards the peaceful nature of their mind. So it is not totally ad hoc. Instead, the effort is there. If you say if it is totally ad hoc, then we don't have any chance with the effort. There's no point practicing. There's no point trying. So just supporting whatever the thing that you want to do, it helps. So if you put certain hours towards your practice, that is helping definitely. And you can see results within few months, few weeks, you can see. And when you see, you don't have questions. You know for yourself. When you have your eyes open, you see things. They were there before. But only now you notice because you have your eyes open. You can't say that they appeared suddenly. No, they were there before. Now you are seeing because you have your eyes open. So that is the idea of the practice. And try to see whether this is helping, putting certain hours towards practice daily. After a few weeks, you can realize for yourself.
Most grateful, Bhante. Thank you.
Thank you, Gihante, for those valuable questions. And Bhante, thank you so much for answering and giving us guidance as always. Is there anyone else who has a question? If not, we can move on to the next item in the agenda. It appears that there isn't anyone else. So, Namanta, over to you. Bhante, thank you once again.
Thank you very much, Lushani, for conducting the Q&A session today. And thank you so much, Bhante, for Bhante's detailed explanation and insight today for us, especially going into depth with some of Gihante's questions there. Now, I think the next item for us is to have the talk from Bhante for today's session. On behalf of all the organizers and all the attendees, I would like to invite with respect to Venerable Bhante to commence the talk for today.
Okay, dear friends, I think we can spend about 15-20 minutes discussing about the practice. So today I want to start like this. Now, in jazz music, there are no wrong notes. Right, so whatever that they are playing, there are no wrong notes. So they somehow turn it into some kind of music. They are creating music on stage. So when it comes to our life also, there are no wrong notes. Whatever is happening, it's something that should have happened. And you have to navigate your life with that. You have to see the opportunity that this new incident has created. So that's some good outlook that you can have towards life. Whatever that's happening happens for a reason. And can I navigate my life? Can I use this opportunity to have a different result in the future? So that is the idea of the practice as well. Whenever you are mindful, you get various objects of attention. Now, a lot of people, they mistake mindfulness with the object of attention. Sometimes they say, as long as I observe my breath, I am mindful. As long as I observe my steps, I am mindful. Other times, I am not. So that's the object of the mindfulness. But mindfulness is that awareness that you intentionally put. And when you put that awareness, you can feel breath is there, sounds are there, thoughts are there, various other sensations are there, the sights that you see are there. So that very awareness we are trying again and again. So when you pay attention towards that, you feel that various notes are appearing. And after a while, they disappear. So in a way, we are listening to the music of our mind. We try to be attentive about the music of our mind. And if you learn the art of appreciating this music, then your life will become more and more peaceful. It will become a less of a struggle. And you will feel less and less friction functioning throughout your life, throughout your work days, functioning through your family problems. You will feel less and less friction. If you are not accepting that, if you are not accepting the things that are happening, then of course you create friction. Of course you create trouble in your mind. So in a way, when we are mindful, we learn the art of appreciating what is happening. We learn the art of accepting what is happening. This world is continuously changing. It's an ever-changing flux that is there. So every time things change, new opportunities open. So if you keep thinking about the past, then you are not seeing these opportunities. You are not seeing the ways to navigate these situations. So that is why through practice, we try to be more and more attentive. We try to develop this quality of accepting whatever that comes. And when you develop that quality, it becomes a beautiful music that you are... Life becomes this beautiful music. And you learn the art of enjoying that. So that's why again and again, you try to be mindful. When you try to be mindful, those various type of thoughts are appearing. Various type of sensations are appearing. And if you start fighting them, if you start preventing them, then there is trouble. Trouble in your practice. And you feel exhausted because of these things. Now, recently, there was this person, he was complaining, I used to meditate, but now I can't because now I can't observe my breath. There's this vibration inside my head, and that's the only thing that I can observe. So I have come this far to get advice. Now I can't even sleep. This vibration is there always. And I am trying to observe my breath, but still I can't. Now he is searching breath. He is not accepting what comes his way. So then we ask, can you observe this vibration? Can you be aware about that vibration? Then he said, yes, I can. So what's the problem? So that is the practice. And within a day or two, he feels that now that vibration is not there anymore. As soon as I accept it, it's gone. Now I can sleep peacefully. As soon as I accepted that vibration, it's gone. So if you start fighting something, this thing will come again and again. It will become a permanent resident. But as soon as you accept, then you are suddenly released. So there might be situations that you are fighting in your life. There might be some thoughts, emotions that you are fighting in your mind. So try and see, can I accept them? Can I accept these situations that surrounds me? Can I accept these thoughts? Can I accept that emotions? And if you do that, then suddenly you feel release. And your practice continues. So in a way, we try to develop this quality. In a way, we try to navigate these situations. Life is like a stormy sea that we are navigating. And if you start fighting, if you start complaining, then your journey stops there. But if you can continue through these storms, through these waves, then you are developing this ability. You are developing strength in your mind to see opportunities in these situations. So that's how we want to practice. That's how we want to progress. Whatever that's happening happens for a reason. And can I accept that? Can I open my eyes to the new situation? And can I see what this situation brings me? And as soon as you accept that, you see, these opportunities are there. I can use them. You don't have to complain so much. Instead, you can just accept it and move forward. So if you have that quality in your mind, then your mind is always simple. Your mind is always peaceful. So that ability, that skill, we are developing again and again by trying to be mindful. Every time you put your energy towards that, you develop this quality. So in a way, you realize that there are no wrong notes in your life. Whatever that's happening happens for a reason. And can you use those situations to develop this beautiful music? Can you use those situations to create this beautiful music? So that's the idea. And every time you feel resistance, there is a chance for you to practice. Sometimes certain people, they just come and complain. They just come and blame. So if you just get angry, if you just get sad, then that is not the way of practice. Instead, you have to see what is happening here. You have to read in between lines and notice what they are asking. Maybe it's not a big thing. Maybe they just need a word of appreciation. And when you give that, they are so happy and they will do whatever you want. If you start fighting them, then your energy is so much wasted. Every time you stop to fight an obstacle on your road, you are stopping your journey. So more you stop, less your journey will be. So you have to try and see, am I fighting these situations or am I accepting them and moving forward? And if you develop that ability, then you realize that there's less and less friction in my mind, in my life, because I am using these situations. I'm accepting them and I'm moving forward. Various people come and blame. Various things happen. It appears like you are not even noticing. You are moving forward. You are navigating these situations. So that's the skill that you want to develop through the practice. When you do it again and again, you realize the whatever that's happening, it's a perfect situation that's created. Maybe you don't notice initially, but with time, you are noticing. When you give it some time, then you notice the opportunity that it had created. So in a way, in Pollyanna's terms, we say, we try to play a glad game. Whatever that happens, we try to find something to be glad. So that's the idea of the practice. Try to see, how can I navigate these situations? Do I want to fight these situations? Or can I move forward? And can I see the opportunities that they had created? And if you have that attitude towards life, then you realize that your mind is becoming more and more peaceful and less friction that is there in the world. And you are moving fast. You are traveling fast. And within few months, few years, you see that you have made so much progress in your life because you didn't stop to fight each and every situation that you met in your path. Instead, you accepted them, you navigated them, and you move forward. So that very skill that we want to develop in our life, that very attitude towards life that we want to develop, that takes some time, that takes practice, but when you spend some time practicing, when you develop this quality of mindfulness again and again, you start to see these situations. You start to see opportunities in them. You get to navigate these opportunities much and much easier. So that's the idea. If you try to be attentive, if you try to be aware, then little by little, you develop this quality. Little by little, you realize whatever happens, they happen for a reason. And can I accept and can I move forward? Sometimes you try to change these situations, but not by fighting them. Instead, you try to navigate them. You try to move towards a better direction by just accepting that situation. So that is the very practice that we are doing. You have to develop this quality in your mind. And if you develop that quality little by little, you realize that you are developing that attitude towards the life as well. You are developing that strength towards the life as well. So that is why I wanted to start saying that there are no wrong notes in your life. you can use that note, that so-called wrong note, and create a beautiful music out of it. Use that as a foundation for a beautiful sound that is pleasing to ears. So try and see whether you can develop this skill. Try and see whether you can develop this ability in your life. And the practice is the way. More you practice, more you start to see these opportunities, more you start to accept them. And less friction there will be. So I think today we had a short talk regarding the practice. We invite all of you to practice and share your experience with us. And thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that excellent talk on mindful practice and how things will progress when you keep on being mindful. One of the key features is practicing mindful walking and then practicing mindful sitting. And it is with that your approach to general mindfulness during daily activities will also start to direct you in the right manner in which to be mindful. So it is important that you do not give up on mindful walking, that you do not give up on mindful sitting, and only focus on mindfulness during daily activities, because it is what is learned in those two sessions that will help you to understand and progress further in daily activities when being mindful during daily activities. So I think some of the complex questions will be answered by your own mind when you dedicate time to mindful walking and mindful sitting, and also writing those reports and by sending those to us, to present to Bhante. So with that, the talk is over for today. I would like to wholeheartedly thank Bhante for initiating that fine example of drinking water mindfully, and also the small discussion that pursued allowed us all to participate actively and share our experiences then with everyone in the forum. So much merits to Bhante for initiating and designing that experiment. Then I would then we went through the Q&A, and then we went through the talk, gathered some further advice from Bhante. I think we can put this into practice. So I would like to thank on behalf of all organizers and attendees Bhante for participating today, and we all wish that these efforts by Bhante will help Bhante's own practice into being more mindful, and we expect to see Bhante continuously participating in our sessions and guiding us in the future. And I would also like to mention Most Venerable Bhante Uda Iregama Dhammajiva Mahathero for asking us to initiate this program, and also all the organizers and attendees, organizers for taking a lot of effort to sustain the program, in a high level of quality, and the attendees for continuously turning up for these sessions, which enables us to have these sessions actualizing. So with that, the session is over for today. If any of you have any questions on the program, we can answer that now, or any suggestions, we can consider those suggestions. You can raise a Zoom hand and let us know. All right, I think there are no further questions on the program itself. There are some standard announcements that I have to go through. I will share the screen for those. I am sharing the screen to show you the Nisaranamane Forest Monastery website here. This has a large amount of information that you can collect and gain knowledge from. This the audio and video archives there, and the books and articles. So you can see those in English and in Sinhala as well, for anyone interested in Sinhala literature. And then that's the first announcement, that there is a website, and that is nissarana.lk. Okay. The other one is satipasala.org website. showcasing the information on Satipatthala Foundation. Satipatthala Foundation is initiated and dedicated for sustaining education on mindfulness to people from different stages in life, students, university students, and then elderly people, people from the middle age. So you can all gather some information on the events and programs happening. Especially there is a large program called the Master Trainers Program. You can go into the website and find about all that information. Next, I will go to the third announcement. Stop sharing the screen now. Okay. So the third announcement is, as you know, as you have seen today, we are just trying our best to pass the message of mindfulness to others. And this is conducted in English. So if you have people that you know will be interested in who either know English or who either know only English or who either know English and Sinhala both, it is fine. You can invite all of them to this session, to this program. We just hope to pass on the message and help some people face life with more comfort, with more energy and wisdom, rather than without. So that's the aim. So feel free to pass on the message that there is a program dedicated like this. And we will be conducting this program every Saturday for everyone's benefit. And with that, it is time for the conclusion of the program. I would like to thank Bhante and all of you for participating today. And I wish you a mindful and happy week ahead, and hope to see you again next week at the same time. Thank you.